story, and this is not a story that I'm proud of. When I was in high school, I was involved at church, and there was this ministry called Kids Rock. Has anybody ever heard of Kids Rock? Okay, so basically the older, like youth group age kids would minister to the children's ministry by doing this Kids Rock, which was like singing and dancing and hand motions. And, you know, it was a little bit weird, but, you know, it's a Baptist church. They allowed that dancing. But anyways, this girl who I really liked at the time, she was involved in this ministry. And she said, you know, you should help out in Kids Rock. It's a lot of fun, and, you know, it's a great way to serve the Lord. And I said, you don't have to ask me twice. And I didn't even know what it was, and I just joined. And so basically, I was going through with that for a little while, and it was a little bit weird. You know, we were doing this, oh, happy day, and it was not very Travis. It was not something I enjoyed or was interested in, but I did it for a little while. And then I quit because Kylie's family got stationed in our area, and she started coming to our church, and I was no longer interested in this other girl, so I just quit. So there's a lot of misinformation and confusion out there about what it means to serve the Lord and to live for Him, and in case you were wondering, that is not a good way to serve the Lord. Half-heartedly and then quitting when you lose interest. That's not serving the Lord. So I want to talk today about what it does mean to serve the Lord. And there's a lot of confusion out there as we talk about how, you know, salvation is through faith alone. And don't get so caught up with the things that you're doing. It's not about what you do. It's about Jesus and His salvation and grace for you. But then other people say, if you're not doing enough, then you've totally missed the boat and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we hear both things. And I think it's important that we reconcile the two. And I feel like the best passage, in my opinion, you know, in my own heart and mind for understanding this, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you guys want to turn there, we're going to be spending most of our time here. So I'm going to go ahead and read this passage. I'm going to start in verse 9, read to 15, and then we'll kind of cover it piece by piece after that. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show itself, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So there are a few things about serving the Lord here that this passage is going to explain. The first thing is going to explain about serving the Lord is it's going to tell us what we cannot do. I'm going to read verse 11 again. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We cannot build our own foundation. We cannot lay our own foundation. Well, you may ask, what is a foundation? I'm glad you asked. A foundation is what we trust everything in our lives to. This is what we lean on. Everything we believe is built on this foundation. Our whole life's goal is to build on this foundation. Okay, and the second thing about a foundation is whether you realize it or not, you have something like a foundation in your life. Even if you don't claim to be a Christian today, you've got something you're using as a foundation. But not just any foundation will do. First, we understand that we cannot be our own foundation. Some people say, listen, I don't have a foundation that I build my life on. I just take life as it comes. I handle it with my own competence and intelligence. I don't have a foundation. Well, if you say that, then your foundation is yourself. And you cannot be your own foundation. And here's why. Romans 3:23 is a very familiar verse. Let's all read it together. For all have sinned. Not just, you know, most people. All people have sinned. All of us are an inadequate and unreliable foundation for our own lives. Imagine a ship is coming in to shore, and he looks for a lighthouse, and he looks in the distance and sees a light. And instead of a lighthouse, that light is being held by a 12-year-old boy playing on the beach with a lantern. And he falls, and the fire goes out, and he has to relight it, and he runs around, and he's playing on the beach, and he's looking for seashells, and he's all over the place with this light. That ship is going to get lost. And when we put our faith and trust in a foundation of our own competence and intelligence, that's what we're doing, and we will get lost. So you may say, well, you know, there's plenty of things out there in the world today. People are very educated today. This is the information age, and there's got to be plenty of things out there that can help me live my life besides just Jesus. But every foundation of this world is unreliable. And there's a very familiar story in the Bible, Matthew chapter 7, is going to shed light on this. Everyone who hears these words of mine, this is talking about Jesus, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was the fall. Many of you understand very well what it's like to have a house built on the sand when a storm comes. I wasn't here when Sandy hit, but talking to many people and what that was like when that happened and the devastation and destruction that happened. Okay, that's what this is talking about here. Now, it may seem for a while like something this world has to offer is a beautiful, beautiful foundation to build your house on. When you walk on the beach and say, yeah, I'd like to have a house right here. And many of those houses were beautiful, looked like paradise, just like what this world has to offer. And they help hold up for a little while, but as soon as a storm comes, they're gone. Only one foundation is going to do. And what is that foundation? Jesus Christ is our foundation. There's a second man in that same parable from Matthew chapter 7. And here it's going to talk about him. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. If we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the foundation has already been laid. And Jesus Christ is an immovable foundation. And it's not a matter of if storms come in your life, it's a matter of when they come. And when they do, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is an immovable foundation. That doesn't mean that when the winds blow, you won't feel it. That doesn't mean when it's raining down that you're not going to hear that and be scared. What it does mean, though, is that your building will stay standing because you are on an immovable foundation. And some of you here today may need to hear this, that this foundation is something you cannot lay. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and it's over. Many of us today are still working to build our salvation, but we are not qualified to build foundations. Only Jesus Christ is. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stop working on your salvation. It's over. It's over. Foundation is laid. So that's what we cannot do. But this passage also tells us what we can do. I'm going to read verse 10 again. According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man, and you may want to underline this, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. We can build something on the foundation that Jesus Christ has laid in our lives. We can't build the foundation, but we can build on it. And that's a very important thing I think a lot of people miss. Here, Paul says, I have laid a foundation and another is building upon it. There's something going on where these people are saying, I'm team Paul. I'm team Apollos. And, you know, they're arguing back and forth. And Paul says, listen, no, you need to be team Jesus. I, Paul, brought you the news of the foundation, the salvation. I brought that to you. Now Apollos is bringing to you news on how to build on that foundation. Okay? So you need to learn from that. Take the information that you have about Jesus Christ and who He is and put your faith and trust in Him. Take what Apollos is telling you about God's Word and build on it. That's what he's saying here. And basically, Here we understand that Jesus Christ has given us something. He's given us salvation, and there's a difference between that and what happens afterwards. You know, it's not a matter of being 51% good and continuing to live your life to make sure you're going to be 51% good when you die. Basically, what this is about is there's a difference between our salvation and our sanctification. Our salvation puts us in innocent and right standing with God. It allows us to spend eternity in heaven with Him. Sanctification is what happens afterwards. Sanctification is the things that we do in service to the Lord following our salvation. Now, it's very confusing, but are we on the same page so far? Oh, good, good. I worry about that, I do. So, also going forward here, we need to understand that what God has given us in this foundation is He's given us life. Ephesians chapter 2, you might say, Travis, you went to this verse last week. But if it was up to me, we'd be in this verse every week. This is a crucial, crucial passage in terms of our salvation. But God, and good news always follows, but God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. So if you have faith and trust in Jesus Christ today, you have been brought from death to life. But a lot of us, instead of going, oh man, this is exciting, I am brought from death to life, instead of doing something exciting with that, we want to pop a lawn chair up in front of our tombstone and prop our feet up and go, yep, I'm alive now. We need to stop living like we're dead. We're missing the point. God has raised us from death to life, and it is time for us to do something with what He has done for us. And this is that division here. God has brought us from death to life. He has given us salvation. And with that salvation, we take it and do something with it. That's what this is talking about in terms of building on that foundation. I'm going to go now to Matthew chapter 24, if you guys want to follow along with me. I'm sorry, 25. And I'm going to read a parable that's very familiar. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And here's an important phrase. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you have entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Here it is again. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. So something we need to understand here is that this master gave each of his slaves a gift of money. And even the 1 talent, it doesn't sound like very much, but if you were here last week, we discovered that a talent is actually a lot. So even the guy who only had 1 had a lot of money. And he left expecting them to do something with what he gave them. And 2 of them did. 1 of them did not. When God gives us the gift of salvation, we then have the opportunity to do something with that. And to those of us who say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything with this. It may point to the fact that we never had true salvation, which is a scary thought. And that seems to be what's being talked about in this story. Also, what we need to understand here about this phrase I pointed out, enter into the joy of your master. This phrase points to the fact that there's a relationship between the master and the slave, a relationship of love. When we serve the Lord, it shouldn't be about, oh, if I don't serve him, I'm going to lose my ticket to heaven. It shouldn't be about that, and it's not. Think of somebody in your life that no matter what anybody else says to you, you go, if that person is proud of me, then I'm happy with what I've done. And that should be the way it is when we serve the Lord. It shouldn't be about gaining a ticket to heaven. It should be about pleasing our loving master. We want to make him proud of us. That's what it's all about. And I know some folks, they tend to think there's two types of Christians. You know, there's the kind of Christians that teach Sunday school, play in the praise band, and find themselves maybe behind a pulpit. There's two kinds of Christians. And those, you know, elite Christians, they can do this service to the Lord stuff. But me, I can't. I can't do that. Listen, let me tell you, there are not two types of Christians. There's nothing special about me. The only reason I'm behind this pulpit is because Pastor Dave called me at 8 o'clock last night and said he was sick. There's nothing special about me. There's not two types of Christians. We are all able to give service to the Lord. And here's why. We're not alone. If you notice here, in verse 9, it says that we are God's fellow workers. As we're working here on this earth to serve the Lord, he's working with us. I'm pretty bad at navigating. And even back home, I wasn't so good at getting around. And now that I'm here in New Jersey, I'm even worse. drove to New York City on Friday because my cousins are in town. They want to see the city, and we drove up there. And man, I got so lost. And I tried to blame it on, you know, everybody else, but I should have known my way around. And I got so lost. But if there's somebody in the car with me, telling me where to go, where to turn, I all of a sudden feel very, very confident that I can get where I'm going, because my trust is in that person getting me where I need to go, because they are working alongside of me. And that's what it's like serving the Lord. You are working alongside of God. You can do it. And furthermore, we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. This is being said to the disciples right before Jesus leaves. So you can kind of put yourself in their shoes and go, oh no, Jesus is leaving. What are we supposed to do? He says, don't worry, you're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. And we receive that same power when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We tend to be envious of people like the Israelites who had a cloud or a pillar of fire to follow. But the truth is, we are much better off because we have God inside of us. And we tend to bellyache and complain, I can't do it. Well, you have God inside of you. So man up and do it, or woman up and do it. Sorry, I'm not very politically correct. I'm sorry. The truth is, you can do it because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have God as your fellow worker, your co-worker. So this passage tells us what we cannot do, what we can do, and it's also going to tell us how it should be done. Let's read verse 12. But he answered, truly I say to you, Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. So it gives us two sets of lists. First of all, gold, silver, precious stones. Second list is wood, hay, straw. Or it says stubble in the King James. That's not talking about facial hair clippings that come out of your electric razor. Wood, hay, or straw. And then the last thing it tells us is that our work will be tested by fire, which is really weird, but we're gonna talk about it and try to make sense of it together. So first of all, we have the gold and silver and precious stones. This means that we are building on a foundation with materials of quality. Examples of this would be reading your Bible. I don't know about you folks, but if I have to build something, I tend not to read the instructions right away. Eventually I do. When that shelf starts to look like a piece of modern art, I'll usually go back and read the instructions. And the same is true with our Bible. Anybody ever see Sanford and Sons? You big dummy? Everybody say that. Yeah. All right. So when we are like, man, I can't figure it out. I'm living my life and I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. And we haven't read our Bible. Just imagine the Holy Spirit saying, you big dummy. That's what I do. When we refuse to read the instructions God has given us a book that contains everything we need to know about serving Him and living for Him. And we don't pick them up until we get lost. It just doesn't make any sense. First way to build on our foundation with quality is to read our Bible. Secondly, serving in the church. Listen, you don't come to church just to hear somebody preach. You can find a million preachers on the internet that'd be much better than me. I guarantee it. Okay? You don't come to church just for this. You also come to church to serve and to help one another. That's part of the body of Christ. And when we decide, we're going to lay out a church, we think that's only going to hurt us spiritually, but it's not. Imagine you've got the body and the leg takes a day off. The whole body's going to suffer. Listen, there's somebody here today that needs you. That's why we come together, to help encourage one another to serve God better. So don't think you're only hurting yourself when you don't come to church. There's somebody here today who could desperately need you. And we need to keep that in mind. That we are here for each other too. We serve God by serving one another. Also, telling others about our faith. The one way to make sure we have a lasting legacy of our faith is to share that faith with others. Souls for Jesus beget souls for Jesus, and that's why we're here today. It's because people shared their faith, and they shared their faith when they were dead and gone, and now here we are today. Sharing our faith is a crucial part of living for the Lord. Now, when it comes to wood, hay, and straw, it's pretty much the opposite of the gold, silver, and precious stones, neglecting the Word of God. That's a great way to make sure that what we build on our foundation is just going to blow away. Not being a part of the body of Christ. And lastly, not telling others about Jesus. All of these things will make sure that our building on our foundation is lousy and will blow away in a storm. The next thing we're going to talk about is how our work will be tested by fire. This is a very strange concept, so I'm going to read this verse 13 to 15 again. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This pertains to our heavenly reward, okay? When we get to heaven, if there's anything we did worthwhile here on this earth, we'll receive a reward for it. And ultimately, that reward will be given back to God in worship of Him. What this is not talking about is salvation. If your work is burned up, then, oh, we're not going to let you in heaven. That's not what it's talking about. It says He Himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So when it says that it will test your work by fire, I like to think of this analogy. You ever drive or walk through the woods and you see just a chimney? Like just a chimney, no building, just the chimney? Anybody? Yeah. I figured as much. It's fairly common, but as common as it is, it's a little bit strange to see. Because, you start to wonder, what's the story behind this? Did somebody build the chimney and then they ran out of money, couldn't build the rest of the house? Probably not. Probably what happened is that house caught on fire, or it just deteriorated over time, and it showed that whatever that chimney was built out of was of higher quality than what that house was built out of. And when we get to heaven, we're going to find out by a test of fire, and what exactly that looks like, I don't really know. It doesn't go into detail. But we are going to be shown what was worthwhile in our lives, what we did for God that was of quality. The takeaway here, and I always do a takeaway because I tend to ramble, so it's good to give you the cliff notes. Takeaway here is that we cannot build a foundation other than Jesus Christ. That's it. No other foundation is reliable. The second thing is that we can serve the Lord with what He gave us. We need to take that blessing of salvation and do something with it in our lives. And lastly, we need to build on that foundation with quality. We need to make sure we're not just, oh, let me go to church real quick, I'll hear the sermon and I'll split. You know, be there for each other. Don't just get involved with the ministry because a pretty girl's involved. Okay, don't just quit, you know, when you meet another girl. We need to make sure that we're building on our foundation with quality. We need to make sure that our motives are to please God. Enter into joy with your master. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and end there. So if you want to bow your heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessing of salvation. Lord, I pray that we will do something with what you have given us, that we will serve you out of love for you. Lord, I pray that we won't put our faith and trust in anything but your great name. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, that has no found that does not have a solid foundation in you, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts and that they won't be afraid to come up to somebody and ask about salvation, ask about the foundation in our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, now please stand and open up in your hymnals to page 408. 408, How Firm a Foundation. We'll sing the first and third verse. 408. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled. Verse 3.